Turn to Romans chapter 1. Verse 26-27. For this cause, stating reason, God gave them up, turned them over to themselves, gave them up unto vile affections. The result, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or fitting. We've, last 3 weeks, I believe, come to this section of Romans chapter 1 that addresses the subject of homosexuality. We see it's vividly described. Verse 26, it's vile affections. We see also that it is an unnatural sin, and we've put much stress upon that, because there are many today who are trying to make it natural. There's nothing natural about it. And we have to understand in these days of naturalization that this is an unnatural sin. And it's important for you and I to understand this, because it's not your ordinary sin. And saying something like that, we have to stress that all sin is sin. We know that. All sin is wicked. All sin is evil. All sin is worse than you and I can imagine. But not all sin is the same. If it were, then God would not address certain sins: murder, adultery, fornication, stealing. He puts them in categories. Even our society does that. Not all crime is the same. All crime is crime, but not all crime is the same. There's greater punishments for some crimes. You're not going to, hopefully, get the same punishment for murder as speeding. They're different. Both against the law, that doesn't make them the same. So this group of people that's out there today in Christendom who wants to tell us that all sin is the same, well, it's not. All you have to do is read your Bible and you'll know that. All you have to do is look around at society and you know that. All sin is not the same. Someone will say, well, homosexuality is no different than the other sin. Oh, but it is. It's in the classification of an unnatural sin. So it's in a different classification. It's described here in verse 26 and 27 has, notice, changed the natural use. They make a change of the natural use into that which is against nature, goes against the nature that God created. And he dwells on that in verse 27, the natural use of the woman. And so he not only tells us it's an unnatural sin, he describes what's natural. Mankind with womankind, womankind with mankind. That's natural. That's natural. Mankind with mankind, womankind with womankind is unnatural. We saw also that in verse 26 and 27, it is an exchange, it is a leaving. That tells us that it is a behavior. And it is a willful behavior. They're not born this way. And again, that's something we have to understand. There is a willful change, a willful exchange. And we've seen that when God's judgment comes, and again, homosexuality is a result of God's judgment and will lead to further judgment. Romans 1 makes that clear. We see they became very aggressive in Sodom and Gomorrah to the point where they were going to beat down the door. And so it is today. So it is referred to in the Bible as shameful and perverse. Verse 27, it is referred to as unseemly. It is unseemly. What that means is that it's shameful. But it means more than that. It means that it is repulsive. It's inappropriate, being against nature. It's not in accord with established standards. And by that, I don't mean man's standards. I mean God's standards. It's that which is perverse. It's that which is twisted and perverse. We see also in the latter part of verse 27 that these individuals receive in themselves the recompense of their error. So it's unseemly, and it is erroneous. It is against God. Again, when the Scriptures speak upon this subject, all mention of same-sex relationships in the Bible are condemned all the time. And they are condemned in a very strong and very plain way. We see it specifically in Leviticus 18, verse 22, Leviticus 20, verse 13. We see that homosexuality is wicked. Genesis 13:13, Genesis 18:20. And it says it's exceedingly wicked. So, it's something that exceeds wickedness. All sin is wicked. But this is exceedingly wicked. So, it exceeds the normal wickedness of sin. And it says it's very grievous. That means to a high degree. It is grievous, and that is, it's evil, it's offensive. We're in trouble as a society when people do not look at it as offensive and disgusting. That is a society in great trouble. They want to tell us it's because we're not intelligent enough. But this isn't a matter of intelligence. It needs to always be evil and disgusting. It's despicable. It's beyond reason. It's contrary to all the laws of God. So from this, we see that homosexuality, of course, is evil. It's disgusting. It's vile. It's despicable. It's repulsive. It's contrary to God, contrary to nature. It is an abomination. Leviticus 18, we've referred to the verse 22, Leviticus 18 and verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. It is an abomination. The word abomination is used several times in the Word of God. It speaks of extreme disgust. God has disgust toward all sin, of course. But an abomination is extreme disgust and hatred for the sin. It's that which is detestable. So regardless of the view and perception of society regarding homosexuality, and it's an abomination in the sight of God. I'm not so sure that most of society is not disgusted by the sin. I think we probably most of society still sees it as disgusting, but they're afraid to say so. They are scared to death to say so because they don't want to be labeled. But again, as time passes, as the Lord comes soon, as time passes, and it's not spoken out against, it'll be the norm. And pretty soon, very, very few will be disgusted by it. I believe we're already seeing it. We are a society with a lot of mental disorders, and it's only going to increase. We, as a result of everything that's going on, you're going to have children raised in this kind of thing. You're looking at an epidemic of mental illness in our society, and it is a result of sin. This will upset nobody here, I hope, but homosexuality is of the devil. It's satanic. Again, it's not, this isn't a different classification. There is a sense in which all sin is of the devil, of course. But notice in Judges 19, verse 22. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, again, Sodom and Gomorrah, but notice what it says, certain sons of Belial. So they are identified. They are the sons of Belial. Beset the house round about, and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. The sons of Belial. The sons of Belial. Belial, this the term, the sons of Belial, speak of that which is very wicked, lawless, but also ungovernable. People will say, I can't help it. And then they will advance the narrative by saying, I was born this way. Well, there's where you're wrong. But it is perhaps true that they cannot help it. The sons of Belial were ungovernable. Demonic activity is ungovernable. They are the sons of Belial. What does that mean? It means that these individuals were under the influence and the direction of Satan. They were under the influence and direction of Satan. And notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, a question is asked. What concord, that is agreement, harmony, compatibility, hath Christ with Belial? There is no compatibility between Christ and Belial. There is a group, homosexuals who claim to be Christian. Well, based on 2 Corinthians 6:15, that can't be. Christian has compatibility with Christ, agreement, harmony with Christ, Christianity. But there is no concord between Belial and Christ. And these are sons of Belial. Homosexuality is foolishness. Job 19, verse 23. And the man, the master of the house, went unto them and said unto them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man hath come into mine house, do not this folly. Do not this folly. And the word folly here means do not this depravity. This which is senseless and disgraceful, immoral and profane. Do not this folly. Homosexuality is condemned by God. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. All sin is ungodly. That is, all sin is anti-God. And so it is with homosexuality. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, that it is contrary to sound doctrine. Contrary to sound doctrine. What does that mean? Well, it means that it is the opposite and is against, logically, sound doctrine or valid teaching. It is logically against valid teaching. It's illogical. The reason it's illogical is because it's against nature. And we see here in Romans chapter 1, it is a sin that results from man's depravity. God gave them up to the lusts of their own hearts. Again, we need to stress, they are not born this way. They want us to think that because they want to be given minority status. That gives them certain entitlements. But it's not race. The Bible makes it very clear that it is a lifestyle. It's behavior. Big difference between a race of people and a behavior. It is a behavior that all races have. It is in every race. But it is a behavior. And it is a sinful behavior. It is a lifestyle. And it is a sinful lifestyle. It's not merely an alternative lifestyle. There doesn't sound anything wrong with that. An alternative lifestyle. No, it's much, much more. And we need to understand, again, there is a fine line between hating a sin and hating the individual. And we as God's people have to be careful that we don't cross that line. We're not to hate the individual. We're to pray for them. We're to pray that God would deliver them. And we are to be a testimony to them. But that line is easily crossed. It's easily crossed. And that's why we have to guard our own hearts, that we don't cross that line. What we ought to want for those who are caught up in this sin is for the Lord to save their soul. Because that'll fix the problem. That's what we ought to pray. Again, I know people who pray, Lord, just strike them dead. Aren't you glad God didn't do that to you? He could do it to any one of us. Because all sin is sin. But we need to pray, Lord, be merciful. Deliver them from this sin. But know this, that this is the result of the judgment of God, and it's going to lead to a greater judgment from God. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for gathering us here together this day. And we do thank you, Lord, for each one that's here. We pray, Lord, for each need that is present here today and each family that's present, Lord, that you'd be with each one of us. Help us, Lord. Help us to draw closer to thee. We pray, Lord, that you would just meet with us this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.